I want to take this opportunity to welcome anyone who's visiting with us. We're so glad you're here. We're glad that you've taken time out, that you've carved time out this morning to be with us. Thank you so very much. You know, for some reason, and I don't know what that reason may be, for some reason, you're here this morning. Some were drug out of bed. Some wanted to be here willingly. Some of you don't even know why you're here, maybe. But all I know is this, that God brought you here for a specific purpose, for this specific time, to do something. Amen? And so, if you're awake, I'm glad you're awake. If you're not awake, I'd like you to get awake, because we're about to do the most important thing that you can possibly do this week, and that is open the holy, living Word of God. And I'm excited about today's message. I'm telling you, I am. I'm really excited about the things that that I've been able to study this week and get into this week, because it's really spoken to me. It's really spoken to me a whole lot. And I think it'll speak to everyone in this auditorium, no matter if you're young or old or somewhere in between. It's going to speak to you. It's got to. I do want to put in a plug before I get going this morning. We do kick off life groups today, and so you've heard from Glenn, you've heard from the shepherd, you've heard from other ministers, you've been hearing about it. Like, life groups are kicking off, they're kicking off today. The yellow pieces of paper, ginormous pieces of paper, which are awesome, are all different life groups that you can, I think you can still sign up this morning and be part of that. And so, man, we're kicking off life groups, and that is one of the most fulfilling, enriching, strengthening ministries of any congregation, And if you're not part of a life group, we want to encourage you to be part of a life group. Like, just sign up. Just go put your name on a sheet of paper back there in the wall. You know, I mean, don't go. I mean, if you want to, you can. But like, you remember growing up, like signing up for things, like you'd go see, like, is my friend going to that? Like, you know, who's going to be at that thing? Like, you know, I did youth ministry for a long time, and sign up sheets are a nightmare, because like, teenagers would be like, I don't know if he goes, then I'll go. If she doesn't go, then I don't go. I got to a point where I just said, listen, Jesus is going to be there. Just sign up, okay? And so sign up for a life group this morning. You still got some time. I know, we're excited about our young adult life group. It's going to meet at noon at our house, and you're probably going, hey, young adult, what age is that? It's ages 18 to 39. I know that's a huge umbrella. But if you're married, if you're not, if you got kids, if you do or don't or whatever, if you're in college or career, whatever, this is for you. Okay. So it's going to be at noon at our house. You can get more info from me at the end of services. Who has one of these right here? I actually got a text from Devin. Devin. Okay. Devin's at work. Who has one of these? I want you to do me a favor. Go ahead and pull it out. Yeah. You go ahead and pull out your cell phone. Make sure it's on silence though. Vibrate. I mean, technology, cell phones have really made life easy for us, or easier, some think, or some of us want to believe. I tend to believe that at times, yeah, cell phones have made it easier. I'm going to ask you to do something just completely off the wall this morning. Okay? Here it is. If you've got Facebook, if you've got Twitter, if you've got Pinterest, if you've got Interlink, if you've got Instagram, whatever it is you got, I know you got something, most of us do. I want you to go ahead and log on to that, okay? Because here's what I want you to do this morning. Don't check your email. Here's what I want you to do. Unless it's God sending you an email, then let me know. I want to know what he says. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to log on, and throughout the sermon today, you're going to see things come up on the board, okay? On the board, listen to me. Up on the screen. I'm so 80s. Goodness. Up on the screen, what I want you to do is when you see a quote, when you see a verse, and you want to send it out there to somebody because it's meaningful, because it means something, because it comes from God, because it's God's word, I want you to go ahead and text it. Text it. Send it on Facebook. Send it on Twitter. How many friends do you have on Facebook? A lot. What if they got a message from you this morning from God's Word to encourage them? Or Twitter? Or Instagram? Do that. Now keep it on silence because I don't want to hear all your buzzing and clicking and stuff. And I don't want to lose you from the message because that's important. But communicate it to people. Use this medium right here. And so cell phones, yeah, they've supposedly made life easier for us. As a matter of fact, the creator of the cell phone, we got his picture up here, is Martin Cooper. Do you know Martin Cooper? For a split second, I thought it was Matt Downing. But it's not. It's Martin Cooper. Martin Cooper was the creator of the cell phone. Guess when the cell phones were created? Back in the mid-70s. In the mid-70s, Martin Cooper had this big Motorola brick. How many of you own the brick? You're still good. Matt still has one of those. My dad's first cell phone was one of those Motorola bricks, and I thought it was the coolest thing. The coolest thing. I used to think I was cool carrying around this thing. I think I walked like this, you know. But his story is really neat. Look him up. He worked for Motorola. Obviously, the competitor at the time, the competitor was Bell. Bell Company. Bell Phone Company. And they were competing to see who would get this technology out first. Motorola obviously did. And you know what Martin Cooper did the day they actually went ahead and developed the first cell phone? It was his. He was carrying it. He says he took off, started walking down the streets of New York talking on this thing. And people were blown away, like, what's happening? He's talking, and he's moving and walking, and he's doing, you know, whatever. You know who the first phone call was that he made? To Bell. Isn't that cool? He called Bell, and he said, hey, how you guys doing? I'm on a cell phone right now. And so, anyway, Martin Cooper created this crazy thing now that we have this, and so for some of us, it's a nightmare. For some of us, it's great. Whatever, some of you are in the middle with it, but you know what? These are great, especially when you're on roads that you don't know, especially when, you know, it's dark, especially for GPS, things of that nature. But I tell you what, they are a little bit of a headache for me. They are, and I don't know, there are a bunch of things that you can say are really annoying about cell phones. You know, it could be all the texting. You get texting and emails, and sometimes you just want to unplug. And that's all annoying. That's all frustrating. But I know everybody in this auditorium this morning knows the frustration of a drop call. You know what that's like, especially if it's an important phone call, right? Talking to your wife, talking to your boss, talking to your husband, talking to a child, and the drop call happens. You lose the call. It's terrible. So I wanted to figure out, why is it that calls are dropped? If we have this technology, why are calls getting dropped? And I found two words that create drop calls. They're called dead zones. There are dead zones, okay, dead zones in our country in which there are no cell phone towers. And so cell phone towers take real long to communicate to each other and connect the calls. So you drop a call, you lose a call. There's a weak connection. There's another reason. There may be places where there's too much interference for the phone call to go ahead and get connected. You're standing or sitting in one of those places. How many of you have tried to make a cell phone call from this building and it just is, you can't. So like, you know, don't try to make a cell phone call. Go into my office or Dottie's office or Dan's or Annette's or Glenn's and grab the phone and call from there. Don't try to use a cell phone here. And the reality is that spiritually, I think we get to points in our life where we hit dead zones. Where there's really a weak connection. Where really, you know, the bars aren't there. We're looking for the bars, right? We're looking for all the bars to be up and we want to make a call. And just spiritually, the bars, maybe there's one bar. We're going on one bar, God. We're just on one bar today, God. And so as we're talking about fellowship and as we kicked off last week and we've been kind of ramping up this idea about fellowship, we want to figure out how it is that we can tap into having a deeper, closer, more powerful connection with God. I know we're talking fellowship and I know you're probably thinking, well, fellowship with the church, this is what that means. Fellowship, right? And we kind of clarified the idea that fellowship is not about fried chicken and mashed potatoes, right? Fellowship occurs around that, but it isn't that. But what we want to try to tackle this morning is the greatest, greatest relationship that you can have fellowship with. And that's God Himself. And so what is it that we do? How is it that we can connect when we've been disconnecting from God since the beginning? You remember in Genesis, right? You remember creation. You remember what happens specifically in chapter 3. The connection is lost. A dead zone is hit. The call is dropped. Adam and Eve drop the call. And sin enters the world. And since then, since that moment, God's been trying to reconnect with His people. Through Noah. Through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, through Joseph, through Moses, the judges, David, Solomon, the prophets. The tent is built, right? In Exodus 40, they build the tent because God's coming down and He's going to hang out with us for a little while. And then they say, that's not good enough, so we're going to build the temple. And so the temple is built because God is going to come and He's going to be with us. But that's not good enough. It's not. Not to make the connection that God wants to have with us. And so God does something amazing. God does something amazing in trying to reconnect with us. You know, some people say that the greatest step for mankind was made by Neil Armstrong on the moon. The greatest step for mankind was not made on the moon by Neil Armstrong, but on earth by God Himself 2,000 years ago. The day God decided to take on flesh and set foot on this earth to try to reconnect with His creation, that's you and I. Try to get the bars up. But we still hit dead zones, don't we? We still do. And so how do we reconnect with God in a deeper way, have closer fellowship with Him? Well, I'm going to ask you to turn over to 1 John chapter 1. That's what we're going to be reading this morning. Here we go. I'm reading from the Voice translation this morning. If you've got NIV, King James, New King James, ESV, that's fine. It's God's Word. Let's dive into it. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. What we are telling you now is the very message we heard from Him. God is pure light, undimmed by darkness of any kind. If we say we have intimate connection with the Father, but we continue stumbling around in darkness, then we are lying because we do not live according to the truth. If we walk step by step in the light where the Father is, then we are ultimately connected to each other and through the sacrifice of Jesus, His Son. His blood purifies us from all our sins. And if we go around bragging we have no sin, then we are fooling ourselves and are strangers to the truth. But if we own up to our sins, God shows that He is faithful and just by forgiving us our sins and purifying us from the pollution of all the bad things we've done. If we say we have not sinned, then we depict God as a liar and show that we have not let His Word find its way into our hearts. Wow. God isn't darkness. God doesn't even like being in darkness. Genesis 1, everything was dark. And God said what? Let there be light. God doesn't have any darkness about Him. He isn't dark. He doesn't have a speck of darkness because He's pure light. Pure, unadulterated light. He's not standing in darkness. And so the reality is this, is that we can't have a connection with God by being where He is not. You can't expect to have a full set of bars being in this building because it's a dead zone. You can't expect to have a connection with God and be where God is not. And God is in the light because He is light. That's what John says. Don't you love the way John writes? Remember back in his gospel, John 1, how he begins his gospel. Do you remember that? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he begins this beautiful picture of light coming into the world. His Son Jesus. We can't have a connection with God by being where He's not. So I guess my question is, where have we been lately? Where have our minds been lately? Where have our hearts been lately? Where have our eyes been lately? Where have our mouths been lately? Where have our hands been lately? Have they been with God? Or have they been in darkness? The reality is that we're living alive. We think we can live in darkness and have a connection with Him. We are. The writer says this, you are living a lie, an illusion, if you think you can be connected with God, but yet live in darkness. As a matter of fact, 2 Corinthians 6:14 says that light and darkness have no koinonia, no fellowship at all. We can't continue to think that we can be in God and be in church and be called Christians, but live a certain way and think in any remote capacity that we have a connection with God. It's absurd. It's like the movie The Matrix. As a matter of fact, living in sin is living a lie. And living as if we have no sin is living a lie. We can't go on living that way. It's an illusion. And so the writer says, John says, but if you live in the truth, if you live in the truth, if you stand in the truth, if you stand in light with God, things are going to be different. Well, they are. They're going to be completely different. Because light is going to be there, shining, exposing some things. You know what darkness is, right? Darkness is not that you hadn't paid the light bill. Darkness is not that the lights just went out. Darkness is the absence of light. So, typical definition. Darkness is the absence of light. And the reality of the truth, the reality of the light, is that you and I desperately need Jesus. Desperately. You know, Dr. Kent Brantley was interviewed on CNN. Great interview. He had Ebola. And he said, I was at a point where I knew that if I were going to survive the Ebola virus, I would desperately need treatment right now. Right now. And praise God, that's when the teams were sent over and they flew him back to Atlanta and they treated him in Emory. And now, thank God, he's free from the Ebola virus. He's with his family. But do you understand the severity, the desperation of somebody needing to be treated for a virus that could very well take their life? It's no different for us spiritually. But the reality is that we go around and we go through our day and we check the box and we check into work and we do the things we got to do and we check in with the wife and we check in with the kids and we just check, 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 check. And never check ourselves. And think we have a connection with God. Because we come through these doors on Sundays and Wednesdays. That doesn't mean you have all the bars on a connection with God just because we're here. We got to get that through our minds, church. We got to get this idea that God is not concerned. He's not concerned about the external things that we can show Him, but He's concerned about what's coming from within inside. That's what he's concerned about. And so do you realize that you desperately need Jesus in your life this morning? Do you realize the implications of not having Jesus in your life this morning? They're serious. That's the truth. We are a mess. And we're dirty, and we're sinful, and we need Jesus. That is the reality. And that is the truth. And so, if you say you have no sin, you're not living in the truth, and you're living an illusion. We need Jesus to do something about our sin. We do. Because we can't do it on our own. I don't have the ability to do anything about my sin, or my children's, or my wife's, or yours. But Jesus does. He does. He's the only one that has any power over it. We're a mess. Every one of us in here has our own luggage that we've been carrying all our life. Has our own mess, our own dirtiness that we clean, that we keep in those little dark areas of our life, right? You know what I'm talking about. Come on, wake up with me now. You know what I'm saying? The sin, that stuff that you don't even let your wife know about or your husband know about, that is just so hidden and tucked away and in a dark place that you don't want nobody to see, not even God Himself. You know what I'm talking about? It's like when we were moving here from Panama City, it was time to clean house because we had to sell the house. And so, man, cleaning is no fun. Right, kids? Cleaning is no fun. Nobody likes to clean. But you know what? I'll clean. I don't care. Sure, we'll clean. But don't get me to pull that oven back. You know what I'm saying? Don't get me to pull that oven back in the dark place back there where nobody sees, right? Don't tell me, don't ask me to get that refrigerator back. I don't want to look behind that fridge. Where's your fridge? Where's your oven? Spiritually speaking, of course. You know, have you pulled it out in a while? Have you pulled it out in a while and just allowed Jesus to get up in there and just clean the stuff that needs to be cleaned out? Because it's just been too long. It's been too painful. And you just got to get it cleaned out. But you think that by coming here and sitting in these beautiful padded brown chairs, Jesus is going to clean things up just like that. No, He's not. What does the writer say? If you confess your sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive your sins and will purify your sins with His blood. Confess. That's a real churchy word. I don't like churchy words. You know what I like to call it? Confess. Own up. Own up. Won't you just own up? John says. You think that you're living in the light, but you're not. Instead, you're living in darkness. But if you were living in the light, living in the truth, you'd own up to your sins. And Jesus, my Son, would clean you up. And you'd have fellowship. True, real, deep fellowship with God. But the fact is that we really don't want to do that, do we? We really don't want to pull the oven back because it's not fun. Because light's going to get in there and we're going to see how dirty it is. We're not going to like what it looks like back there, possibly. But I love the fact that God doesn't desire for us to live in darkness or live a lie or live in sin, but He's made a way. He's made a way for us. He's done something about it. He sent His Son Jesus, right, to come and clean things up if we own up. And the fact is that God, He's saying in 2 Peter 3:9, I love that passage. God is not slow, as some understand slowness. He's faithful and He's going to keep His promises. Why? Because He wants everybody to come to repentance. Own up. Turn around. Turn back to God. He doesn't want to see anybody perish. He doesn't want to see anybody die in their sin. No. He's given us a chance through His Son Jesus. But some are still going to prefer to live in darkness. John 3:19. You know, John talks about the light coming into the world. And of course, those are John 3:19 is three verses after John what? 3 what? 16, right? And you know what John 3:19 says? That even though the light came into the world, men loved darkness because their deeds were evil. I'm not talking about an easy thing to do, church. I'm not talking about an easy thing. It's a difficult thing to do. To say, God, yeah, I got to own up to some things and I've got to let You come in and pull the fridge back and pull the oven back in my life and clean up back there because I need it. That's not easy to do. So we got to do it. I love this phrase right here. The more we own up, the more He'll clean up. I want you to say that with me. The more we own up, the more He'll clean up. Yeah, send that out into the Facebook world and Twitter world. The more we own up, the more He'll clean up. It's not like the more we own up, the more He'll, you know, beat us up. It's not the more we own up, the more He'll guilt us up. No, He says the more you own up, the more My Son will clean up. But you got to own up before the cleanup can occur. So, can you own up where you are right now? Sitting right now where you are, where I'm standing, can we own up? Can we own up to what's going on in our lives? The greed? The selfishness? The lack of love? The lack of patience? And all the other stuff that comes with that. Can we own up? Can you own up this morning right there knowing that God's got a deeper, stronger connection that He wants to have with you? And all it takes is owning up. Can you own up to God this morning? And can you say, yeah, God, I've lived this certain way and I've thought like this for too long and I don't want it anymore because it's dirty and it's nasty and it's grimy and I don't want it in my life anymore. Can you do that this morning? Or are you just going to sit there and leave this auditorium and go back to your life like nothing ever happened? When God is calling through His Son John and saying, hey, listen, there's something we've got to talk about today. And this is this idea of darkness and light. And we can't keep living in darkness and think we have a connection with God. We can't. It's going to be worthless for me or Dan or whoever gets up here and continues to talk about fellowship unless we get this. Doesn't mean anything if I have a close relationship or a close fellowship with Matt or Dwight. If my fellowship with God is weak. What would our lives be like if we stopped hiding in the dark and owned up? Can you just dream with me? How much burden would just be lifted off our shoulders? How much guilt would we be able to just shed off? How much peace would our lives be able to have? How good would your marriage be? How good would your relationship with your son and your daughter be? Or your parents? Or your co-workers? How different would life be if we stopped hiding in the dark and came into the light? I've got to say, I've got to be sure that it would be different. I've got to be sure and certain that it would be better. Thank you. That must be my cue. Hey, brother, God was sending you a message to tell me to wrap up. Love you, brother. All right. You know, God's faithful. God's faithful and His promises are good. Like, He doesn't want us to own up so that we can feel bad about ourselves. He doesn't want us to own up so that we can, you know, just see what kind of a failure we are and how we don't meet up to God because we've had failed marriages or we have failed businesses or failed parenting or sin in our life or, you know, whatever. God, that's not God's intent. God is faithful and His promises are good. But He's asking us to really look into our lives and figure out, hey, what is in darkness in my life? And what does He need to come in and clean up because I just can't? He's fair with you. He's going to be just and you can trust Him. So will you own up? Not just to God, but really, will you own up to someone else? Because I think the easy part is to own up to God. And to just go in your closet and pray. And that's we need to do that, obviously. That's the first thing we need to do. But how about just going and owning up to someone? Maybe it's time that we sat down with somebody and just had a real deep conversation, heart to heart. With our spouse or our kids or friends or somebody you've hurt. Somebody that you've really hurt with your words or you've done something to them or maybe they don't know you've done something to them. But you know. You just got to sit down and say, hey, listen, I just got to talk with you. My heart is heavy because I've just been keeping something in the dark for a long time and I don't know if it's hurt you or not, but can we talk? Can I just own up to something? Everybody's looking for something to get them through this life. I know you are. Because I am too. You can look for money. You'll still keep looking. You can try relationships and try to find a relationship to be something to get you through this life. You'll keep looking. You could maybe try to achieve things, degrees, careers. Yeah, you're going to keep looking. So, will you own up? Will you own up this morning? I'm going to ask us to do something this morning. Brian's going to lead us in a song. He's going to lead us in a song, and I know some of you, you know, you're the idea of coming up here and responding and all that is just kind of foreign, kind of maybe even weird. Who knows? I don't know. But here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Brian is going to lead us in a song here in just a second. And if you know that you've got to own up to something before God or you've got to own up to something to somebody else, I want you to just stand right there and just keep singing. Just stand right there. Just stand. And I want you to see. I want you to look around. God loves you, church. He cares for you and He's not content to leave you where you're at. He wants us closer
to Him, more connected to Him, more in fellowship with Him. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Thank You for sharing Your message this morning, Lord. And as we get ready to sing a word of praise to You, Father, I know there are hearts, there are minds here this morning that are thinking about their lives, thinking about where they've been, things that they've done, and the future, Father, and things that You've got planned for them, God. And Lord, You brought us all here for a reason this morning, and I know it was to heal us, to forgive us, and to give us hope, to point us to Your Son, Jesus. And I pray that that's what we've done this morning, Father. We love You, and we pray in Jesus. Amen.